Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome. Today I'm joined by Scott Livingston, who's CEO at Turu. How are you today, Scott?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me on today.
Right, we've spoken over the years, but it seems that Turu is actually gathering momentum.
Indeed, yes. We're very happy with the results for the first half year. We're delighted to report that our EBITDA is significantly above for the first 6 months, over £1 million in the operating subsidiaries, which is higher than the forecast. So we're very excited about that. And we're very excited about a lot of development that we've got with the brands, with new retailers and growth. It's an exciting time.
Right. I think one of the standouts with your company is actually, as opposed to many other companies on AIM, it actually has a business in it, has revenues, it has EBITDA. It's not just a hole in the ground with a bit of hope attached.
Yes, we have many employees. We have a factory. We make things. We do things. We have profitable businesses. We're growing. And yes, I think it's refreshing for AIM to have a tangible business that does something.
Right. And just in terms of that business, you've got these sorts of trendy sort of sounding names and products and everything else. Maybe you could just go through your suite of things that you sell.
Yeah, so the portfolio is effectively made up of a number of small pillars. I mean, the first one is Jovella, which is a gluten-free bread brand that we manufacture in our own facility in Wales. That's a prescription product for celiacs, going very well, over 25-year history. We've then launched under that umbrella, if you like, OAF. And OAF, O-A-F, is our gluten-free mass market offering, which is now in Tesco and Asda. We're very excited about new retailers and having great discussions about growth. The sales rate is strong. We have a great social media presence with that new brand now, and it's a really exciting time. We then also have Pulsin, the protein bar and fiber bar business, which has a 25-year history as well. And we're growing that internationally into new markets and getting that back on its feet. We also have a crisp company called Purely, which is a plantain chip, which is beginning to get back to growth. And yeah, it's exciting times. And it's also an industry and or a market that is growing. You know, everybody is reading ingredients. Everyone is concerned about what they're eating. People are choosing gluten-free as a lifestyle choice, not necessarily just because they're a celiac. So we see this as a real strong wave over the next 10 years where people move towards free-from type foods and foods that avoid various chemicals.
And it's something where the market is sticky, the market is in its good margins. What's the kind of business end of all that?
Yeah, so I mean, there are strong margins. There's room for innovative products. Obviously, it's not in a category that is completely flooded by the big strategics. There is room for innovation. Now, that doesn't mean that in 5 years' time, should these small innovators be successful, they would probably be bought by the strategics, and the sector would effectively consolidate in some ways. But at the minute, and certainly for the next few years, we see wide open spaces for innovation where the bigger guys aren't necessarily doing it. So that's our opportunity. It's a really fast-growing category. There's lots of room for innovation, and we feel we're in a great position to exploit that.
And are you considering expanding your product suite? Is that something that you would do, or are you just trying to expand the footprint and the distribution of what you've got at the moment?
So we don't sit with a war chest, so it's very difficult to be aggressively acquisitive. However, we do have a number of exceptional opportunities where we would look at more of a share swap, and there's some significant, really interesting businesses that would complement our existing ranges where we could effectively integrate them completely, maybe manufacture them or maybe share various divisions and departments and, you know, the same consumer demographic. And we're busy at work on some of these strategic opportunities.
Right. And in terms of, you know, you've got the metrics coming out, which are also rather healthy, but the market cap, 3-4 million, is that something that you think is just a matter of you shouting a bit more and doing exercises like this interview? Or is it something that you think the market is sort of kicking the tires a bit on your type of business and wants to see more?
Well, given we were offered north of £10 million for Jovella at the beginning of last year, I think it's obvious that there's significant value in the companies, given they're profitable. We're massively undervalued. You know, we if you look at a lot of comparables, they're 4 to 7 times revenue once you've got a brand that's growing and bought by a strategic. There's massive upside here. There is two jobs. One job is growing a brand, building a decent business, worrying about the mechanics and the operations of a company and growing it well. There's then another job, which is convincing investors that they should buy my stock, convincing funds that they should be buying into the stock. And that's obviously a different art in itself. And the public markets have been frustrating for a number of years. We're staying loyal to the public markets. We do believe it's going to come back. We do believe if we're aggressive enough, if you like, we will be able to get the story out. And talking to yourself and others and trying to promote our stock is obviously something that's absolutely on our desk to do a better job at. However, a lot of public company investors may want more of an AI defense, crypto, buzzy type stocks that might move faster. Unfortunately, we are quite a steady, stable, growing business that can create significant value, but it's obviously not going to be instant.
And so maybe they're looking for a 0 or 2 on the end of all your numbers before they say, yes, this is a Premier Foods or whatever it's going to
Well, we'd rather have 3 zeros, to be honest.
be. Right.
But yes, I think if we were at, if you looked at a 2 times revenue multiple, which would be a sort of fair value minimum, if you looked at comparables, we'd obviously be at a 30 million market cap. Now, at that level, it would then warrant potential dilution to get cash in for really exciting acquisitions and also explosive growth investment. Is the market there for that at the minute? We don't know, but we will certainly be trying by promoting our stock and talking to investors about what we're doing more.
Scott Livingston, CEO of Tuuru, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Zach. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.